Hello, everybody, and welcome to our weekly group coaching call for February 22nd, 2018. It's great to be here with you guys. And I just want to remind you of a couple of housekeeping items, and we'll dive into Q&A. The first is everyone is on mute, so you don't need to mute yourself. And the second is if you want to ask a question, get feedback on anything, I am here for you at your disposal. I hope you can tell from the couple of calls we've had, I will help you out in any way I can, and please take advantage of this opportunity to have a discussion with me. I'm not going to rush you. Don't be shy, and ask away. Star 2 will raise your hand on your telephone keypad. That's probably the best way for us to have a conversation because it'll be live. I'll unmute you at that point, and we can have a chat. Or if you are on the call page for today's call inside the training portal, you should see a field there where you can enter your question, click submit. I'll see it on my end, read it, and address it. By the way, if you're ever not able to attend a call and you know you won't be able to come in but you have some questions, you can always pre-submit questions. The best way to do that is usually on the it's going to be on the call page. So just log into the training portal, go to the next call, the upcoming call, type in your question. You can do that at any time. You don't have to wait till the day of the call or anything like that, and just type in your question. The way my system works is when I log in to that day's call, I will see your question there. So just make sure you pick the next call and not a call down the line in the future, because I won't see those. I only see the questions that were submitted for the next call. Okay, so with that, you can hit start two at any time. We got a couple of questions that were pre-submitted. I will start with those, but my system keeps a queue. So you can ask away at any, or do start two at any point, and it will keep track of that. All right, so let's see. The first question from Deb. Deb says, I have a question for today's call. I don't know if I'll be there in person. Can you please explain about indexing as it relates to web searches? Is the web copy the driving force behind the crawler, or the web design, or a combination of both, or something else altogether? Okay, yeah, great question, Deb. So Deb, just a little bit of context there. Deb is referring to search engine optimization. What drives Google to index your site, meaning capture the information and know that it's there and identify the contents for search purposes, for search results purposes? So that's really the gist of it here. And obviously the answer is nobody really knows exactly what the algorithms are, but we have a pretty good idea. And Google keeps getting more and more sophisticated, and it's gotten really hard to fool Google. It's next to impossible. You have to be relevant. You can't keyword stuff your website with, copywriter, copywriter, copywriter. That's just not going to work. But what does it? What gets Google to go ahead and find your site and index your site? Is it design? Is it copy? It's always the biggest driving force is going to be the content, the words inside the copy. However, Google is getting better about also giving preference to websites that are mobile enabled. So in that sense, design does play a role because they're trying to emphasize the fact that websites that are more modern, that have been updated and continue to be updated, are going to be more relevant. So I guess the thinking is, if you haven't updated your site in 12 years, your site is probably not that relevant or important in terms of search results. So they shouldn't pay as much attention to that as another one that's more with the times. And they want to reward searchers with websites that are more modern and that display well on mobile devices, because so many people are looking at web pages and websites right now through mobile devices, and the percentage keeps growing every year. So, but copy is going to be, it's, you could have, not so great looking site, but great content inside that's very relevant, and a lot of relevant sites linking to it. And I'm not saying that's something you should strive for, but and it's an established site, and it's getting traffic, and it's being updated, and all these things that are best practices for search and optimization. But if it's not mobile enabled, that doesn't mean that you're out of luck. Not at all. So yeah, it's a combination of both. And really, it's beyond the scope of this program. I would do a little bit of reading up, and there's all kinds of information on the web about how to search engine optimize a new site. However, I will say this, since you're bringing it up, Deb, I would not worry too much about this right now. And here's why. Your prospects for the foreseeable future are not going to come to you. They're not going to find you through Google, and meaning that they're not going to find you through Google and then going to your site from there. It's 90-something percent are not going to come that way. However, some will come, and then out of those who will come from a Google search, the majority of those will have found your LinkedIn profile or will have found you through LinkedIn, period, using LinkedIn as a search engine when they have an identified need. Okay, so I don't want to take away from the fact that search is not important, because it is important. However, I see too many new writers and copywriters put way too much emphasis on search engine optimization and spend a lot of time and resources trying to optimize their site when that's really not what's going to get you what you really want right now, is landing that first paying client and getting momentum from there. So keep that in mind. If it were me, I would spend a little bit more time on my LinkedIn profile. Again, on your professional headline and your summary. I think that's better spent, and it's easier to do. And the results are going to be better anyway, because the people searching there, the right kind of prospects, they're going to have some sort of identified need. As opposed to Google, you never know who that's going to be. Anyway, so there's that. All right. Let's see. Another question came from Kim. She says, my website is almost complete and I struggle with the services section of it. I'm offering direct response copywriting and content creation. These are my questions. First, should we include starting prices? Bob Bly talks about this and states that a pricing list is great. He has outdated information, though, and no one else seems to do it. I think it could be a good addition to see if someone is serious. All right, great question. My suggestion is to not include pricing information on your website right now. So there's a reason why I didn't talk about that in the website lesson, and that's because you don't need it. And in fact, I think at this point it could hurt you more than anything else. You've heard me say a few times, metaphorically speaking, when you're starting out, you should say yes to everything. You should, within reason, be open to just about any opportunity. Now, what that means to you will differ from person to person in this program. Some of you should be a little bit more open because you're starting out with a little bit less. Others have much more relevant experience and recent experience in the target market that you're going after, and you should be a little bit more selective. But either way, it's not about getting the best clients right now. Client quality should not matter at this point in your journey. Right now in the launch phase, that should not be an issue. It should be, let me get a client. It's kind of like, you just graduated from college, and you got student loans starting, they're going to come due. The payments are coming due in a couple of months, and you still don't have a job. I know when I was growing up, the philosophy I think may have changed since then, but it was a matter of, at this point it doesn't matter. I just need something that's decent and that's going to pay me a decent salary. And I'll figure it out from there, right? So it's the same approach here. And when you put pricing there, what it's going to do is it could potentially repel some prospects that, had you gotten into a discussion with them, you may have been able to work something out. So yes, long term, that could be something to consider. Right now, be just don't put any more friction or obstacles in the way. Okay, second question from Kim, PayPal. Should we add a paid consultation option that people can book right away? So that kind of falls into the previous category. I would make my consultations free. Essentially, it's a first conversation with somebody, and we're going to talk more about what that conversation looks like, what you should ask, how you should lead the conversation. But I would not put a paid consultation up there now, because what it's saying is you're not going to talk to me unless you pay, and that's not what you want. Again, reduce the number of obstacles and the friction here at this point in your business life cycle. Number three, how much service information should we provide? I find bullet lists ugly and in-depth explanation too much. What's a good middle way? I don't know, Kim, if you've seen some of the examples in the website session. I did a video with several examples, and in the handout I included many different website examples from copywriters, many of which have gone through this program. And you'll see there's a good variety there. I would find something that resonates with you. I agree. I think bullet lists, not my favorite, but I also don't suggest having, you know, four or five sentences on each service. My suggestion would be a happy medium, a couple of sentences, making sure that those sentences don't try to educate a total newbie. Again, you're not speaking to total newbie prospects. You're speaking to people who already understand what the stuff is. And you're just, maybe the way you're framing each service is how your background, your experience, your expertise makes you an ideal choice for this type of service. So that would be the way I look at it. And you can do that in two sentences for each service. Okay, Kim's question here, next question, are four pages okay? I have only four pages on my site. Home, Why Me, Services, and Contact. So Home, Why Me, Services, Contact, that's fine. Bio is covered in the Why Me section. My testimonials are on the homepage. I'd love to add a portfolio of some sorts, but I don't have a proven track record in copywriting. Any ideas? Here's what I would say with samples. If you have some, I would go ahead and use them. I can't stress this enough. You're looking for people who are willing to hire you based on what they see right now. I need to point you guys to an article I wrote that showcases the samples that I started out with, because I want you to see this is not just me talking. This is not just me saying, oh, yeah, use whatever you got. I walked that walk. I really did put what I had out there, and you'll see it was not impressive at all. And I'm trying to get software clients, and the samples that I had were not in the software industry. But I just used what I had. This is a temporary problem. Once you land that first client in your target market, then you can replace one of your three samples with that new sample. Same thing with the second client and so forth. So if they need to see more than that, if they need to see something more impressive, they're just not a good client for you today. It doesn't mean they can't be a good client in the future. They're just not a good prospect for you today. But it's up to you. I mean, one idea would be just to not even have a portfolio or samples page right now, and that's fine. I kind of side on I'd rather err on the side of just having something up there, even if it's not beautiful. But that's totally your call. My whole point, though, is don't feel like you have to have a proven track record, as you stated in your question, before you post something, because that is a fleeting objective. You'll never feel like you've arrived. You know, it's like money. You'll never feel like you're making enough. So be careful there with these objectives or goals that are not clear and tangible, because, you know, welcome to the world of copywriting. You'll always feel a bit inferior, and you never feel like you've really arrived. Okay, so let's see. We had another question in the forum, in the Q&A thread, from Rafiq. You had a couple of questions, so let's go through them, and then we'll go to live Q&A. And again, guys, at any point you can dial star 2 on your telephone keypad and to raise your hand. All right, Rafi's questions. First, I would like feedback, if possible, on my LinkedIn profile. All right, let me bring that up. And then he says, I've got a couple of things in the air that I'm trying to run in parallel, open to jobs as a tech product manager for recruiting managers, open to freelance high-tech copywriting services, hence this course, and also trying to see if I can get into Salesforce consulting. Recently got my Salesforce admin certificate. All this in service of my real career goal to make it as a film and TV actor. So any thoughts you have regarding my LinkedIn profile would be great. Okay. Product marketer, Salesforce consultant. Well, okay. Let me think how I can best serve you. And if you're on the call, Rafiq, I may have to talk with you because I'm not sure how to look at it. I mean, I can give you feedback on your profile based on positioning yourself as a copywriter, but if you are trying to diversify here and say, well, I don't want to commit to anything because I'm kind of trying here, I'm trying here, and I'm trying here, three different places. Generally speaking, from a LinkedIn profile standpoint, you're diluting your message. So generally speaking, that's not what I would recommend. I would pick one, two at the most, and in two only if they were closely related, if it made sense. Otherwise, it starts feeling like you're dabbling, you know, you're not really focused. So, I'm not sure how you want me to take a look at it. Let me see here what you got, and then we can, you know, maybe if you're on, we can talk a little bit more about it. So your headline, product marketer, Salesforce consultant. Summary, product marketer with 10-plus years of experience at Fortune 500 companies, startups and nonprofits, strong digital execution skills and stakeholder relationship management. Great combination. Left and right brain, I use my storytelling talents and understanding of technology to create particularly powerful messages and collateral. Okay. So I'm reading through the summary. Okay, so with the headline, again, I'm looking at it as if you're trying to get copywriting clients or content marketing clients, those words are not there, right? So it's not freelance writer for the tech industry, for instance. Those keywords are not there. It's too generic right now for your freelance writing business. Then in your summary, you want to right away explain what you do, whom you serve, what makes you different, and then go into some of the other elements. So right now it's leads with product market or 10-plus years experience at Fortune 500 companies, startups, and nonprofits. The reason I suggest changing that is that this is the part that most people see. And unless you expand that, it's going to be all under the fold. So it's important that you just come out strong and come out of the gate swinging with, you know, I help these types of organizations or companies do this. You know, I have this type of background, which makes me different, or I have this uniqueness about me. And then you can expand on that. Then you can add the I have 10-plus years experience, Fortune 500 company, so that could be your core differentiator. But I would not lead with that. Strong digital execution skills, okay. Yeah, and then the rest you can incorporate in there, but you got to make sure that the part that's above the fold, that's immediately visible, you just got to tell them right away, this is what I do, this is whom I serve, this is what makes me different. And that way you grab the reader and get them to click on show more. So, again, Rafiq, I don't know if you're on, but that would be my recommendation on that. With the others, you know, I'm certainly not an expert in Salesforce consulting, but I mean, I think the same principles really apply. If you really want to focus on that, then that's already in your headline. and then you got to lead with that in the first two sentences of your summary, because it's all got to be congruent, and you got to grab me, so I expand it and read more. All right, so, okay, cool. You're on the line. You raised your hand, so let me bring you on. Hey, Rafiq, how are you?
Hey, Ed. I'm good. Yeah, thank you.
Does that make sense?
It actually does. I think it totally makes sense, and now I think I know what I'm going to do. I am definitely going to focus on the copywriting aspect, because that is the path that is most aligned with my acting career too, copywriting.
Gotcha. You know, and I was thinking through other scenarios, and I was thinking, you know, well, if you start with your network, the LinkedIn profile is not quite as critical, because you're using your relationships to start some conversations and get some opportunities. And then this is not incongruent, right? This does not raise red flags. Unless some of the opportunities are with people you're being referred to, and then they're going to check you out, and then that's going to cause a little bit of confusion. But usually the referral trumps all that, depending on the quality of, you know, the person who referred you and the referral itself.
Got it.
But yeah,
and
just, so then
one thing.
Yeah, so just make sure to, you know, put a little bit more detail in the headline, and then that first part of the summary is key.
Okay. And one approach I've been taking is, if, you know, I talk to a recruiter or a hiring manager at the company for product marketing and they don't move forward, then I add them to my list of potential clients specifically for copywriting work, and I, you know, try to sell them that way.
Okay.
So in some ways, this profile leads, it's a lead magnet in some ways.
Gotcha. Yeah. I like that. I like that. So, yeah, just make sure, beef it up then with a little bit more detail, so that when somebody's searching, you know, tech copywriter or tech white paper writer, for instance, you have to play around with the terms, but, you know, you're going to be, based on other factors and parts of the algorithm, you're going to be one of the top results.
Okay, got it.
Okay, and that's going to be key. The number of people looking for freelancers on LinkedIn that way has gone up dramatically. I remember 2-3 years ago, still pretty rare, and there's been an upsurge in that. So this is why I kind of really harp on, make sure that headline is not cute. Yours is not, but I see a lot of them out there. You know, storyteller for hire, words that nobody's searching. It's like, man, just tell them flat out. You can get cute later. You can use the fluffy branding words later. But now, get right to the point. Use words they're actually using in their search.
Just one quick follow-up to that. Is there any way, like, we can do a search for, we can look up search volumes for phrases on Google? Is there a way to look for what people are searching for on LinkedIn?
Good question. I never thought about that. I've never heard of something. I'd want to look that up. I'm searching right now. You know where it's going to be. If there is something like that, it's going to be in their ads platform. So the only reason Google that divulges that information is they're trying to sell advertising, right? So if you're a potential advertiser, they're trying to show you what people are searching for to encourage you to create ads using some of those keywords. Well, LinkedIn has, you know, paid advertising as well, and I would think if it's going to be somewhere, it's going to be there.
Got it.
Yeah, but I've never thought about looking that up. That's an interesting question. Now I'm intrigued. Yeah, and you know, I would ask around too. I'd say, hey, if you were looking for someone, and by the way, you could do this with, it doesn't have to be for what you do. I mean, I could ask someone, if you're looking for a pet groomer or electrician, what would you search for? And then that way you have kind of the hierarchy and the archetype of a lot of these searches. So a lot of people were finding me for software copywriter Atlanta. That's mm-hmm. how many people came to, or tech copywriter Atlanta. A lot of my the people who found me were local. It was localized search. They were looking for somebody, and I was, but that was not in LinkedIn, by the way. Although I think people are still searching that way in LinkedIn. If there's a higher chance that they'll find you if with a localized term than with not, because if you can imagine, software mm-hmm. copywriter is very broad. I would have to do really, really well with Google to come up on the first page. But at Atlanta, that limits the field. And now Google has moved into contextual search as well, which factors variables that are unique to you to give you results that you'll get different results than I will for the same keywords, essentially.
Got it.
Yeah, it's getting harder. And with LinkedIn too, something to keep in mind, this goes to all of you, is it's not just the words, there's other factors, there are other elements in the algorithm based on who you're connected to. So if I were to search right now for a medical device copywriter, the people that I'm closer in first and second degree connections are going to appear first before third degree or fourth degree connections, even if those are more qualified potentially. So it's yet one more reason why everyone here should be increasing the number of connections they have in LinkedIn. I'm not saying, you know, spam people and go crazy. Do it right, but don't be shy about it. I see people with, you know, 15, 20 connections. That's not enough. You need to expand that network on LinkedIn. That's going to help you with search results. Okay?
Yep. Thank you.
You bet, Rafiq. Good stuff. All right. Let's see. We got Kim here with her hand raised. Hey, Kim.
Hey, yeah. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Not too bad, even though you called me a girl again. Third time now, Ed. Third time.
I'm sorry. Did I say Kim? How did I say girl? Oh, when you asked, when you the pre-submitted, yes. Was that you?
I will keep writing on that.
Well, I apologize, man. I will make sure to get this right before we're done.
Okay, I'll take you up on it. I don't have a question per se. I just have a little bit more information about the LinkedIn search engines. I thought I'd share that with Rafiq.
Perfect. Yes.
So you don't have a direct option to see how much traffic certain keywords generate, but if you put up a recruiter profile or if you put up a second profile and actually pay for premium, you have a search engine that is a little bit similar to Facebook advertising. So if you put in certain keywords as if you would be hiring someone, you get a list of people that fits these criteria as good as possible. And these criteria are built upon different interactions and systems within LinkedIn that are similar to Google searches or others. So it is, as you said, Ed, the more connections you have that are relevant to what you're trying to do. So let's say you want to be a copywriter for a tech business. The more people in the tech industry you have, or the more connections that are working in the tech industry you have, the higher you will be ranked for that. Same goes for profile visits. If you have a profile that is being visited hundreds of times a day or a week, you will show up in the list higher than other people. You also get suggestions for people. So you put that in, you get like, it's the same as an Upwork. You get like a top 10, top 20 list. Have you tried this profile or this profile or this profile? This is how most recruiters find you if you put something online. So if you find yourself with a second profile, you know that you are doing really good. Otherwise, you can just try out the keywords that are other people using in your area in the same industry and trying to be better than that. So you can play the system a little bit by, for example, if you go for Tech Copywriter Atlanta and you see yourself not showing up in the suggestions, then you can open the top 5 or 10 profiles and you can just see, okay, how many connections do they have? How good are they connected? How many profile views will they have? How active are they? How many posts do they, what is the engagement on the post that they are doing? How often is it liked? Are they a pro account? Are they not a pro account? And then it's the same as in ranking in Google. The more you go into these different kind of profile things and the more you up them and make them better, the better chance you have to be in the top 5 or top 10 when someone searches you.
Interesting. That's great stuff, Kim. Thank you. It does, and it makes sense, doesn't it? It's logical that it would work that way.
Yeah, and you can play it really nice if you want to test as well. For example, I still get like 5 or 10 invites a week for jobs that I did 10 years ago.
Wow.
It's interesting.
That is. And I think something you said really speaks to yet another reason why you should search for and join groups in your target markets. Because if you're looking to beef up your connections in the target market, not just because you're trying to get more exposure and find some prospects, but there's an added benefit in that if people are searching for a writer in that industry or in that market, like you said, the more connections you have there, that's certainly a variable in the algorithm.
Just two things about that. First, don't spam. If you just send out invites to all the groups that you can find, I don't think it has a good effort on you because they see in the system that it's the same as if you would write 500 times copywriter in your homepage and then trying to link it on Google. It's a bad metric, right? So join the relevant groups. And what helps a lot more than just joining or just being present is if you actually share some stuff or if you post some articles that you found. You don't even have to write anything yourself or do anything. Just when you're in the groups, once every 2 or 3 weeks, just share an article that you find. Hey, I found this might be helpful for you. Even if no one really reads that, they pick up that you're active in those groups and then puts you on a higher scale.
Yeah, because you're not trying to automate or spam the process. You're being a human.
Exactly.
Right. So yeah, that's a great point. I would say that you know, it's maybe the equivalent. It's funny, I say that people do things online that they would never do in person. I would never go to a networking event and then just interrupt everyone who's having a conversation and say, "Here, have my business card. Here, have my business card," which is the equivalent of spamming people, right? And connecting with everybody in every group, as opposed to join some of the conversations, and then at the end say, "Hey, let me give you my business card." Totally different, right? You've joined the conversation, you've interacted, and now you're connecting.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Great feedback. Thank you for that. That's great stuff.
No worries. You're welcome.
Okay. See here, we got Gladys on. Hey, Gladys.
Hi, Ed. How are you?
Good. How's it going?
Great. I have a question, or I just want to get your take on the tone of the copy for my website. As I was going through the examples, you know, I see people, you know, saying, "I speak DC," for example. And then so I thought, okay, what if I said I speak academia? And I thought, I hate that. And it's because people in academia normally write in a very complicated way. And they even talk to each other in a complicated way. And sometimes I wonder if we actually understand each other, you know. And so in my own graduate classes that I'm teaching, I have actually moved toward educating my students to write more simply, more succinctly, and to stop hiding behind complicated vocab and sentences because I don't understand it. I'm sure they don't understand it after they write it either. And so I'm thinking, okay, when I'm presenting myself to my clients on my website, I want to communicate that I can facially, but then I also want to appear competent and professional enough for the education industry, you know, that I can speak their language, although I don't really want to. So my question is, what's your take on that? Do you have any suggestions for me as to the tone of my site?
That's a great question, and it's a tough balancing act. There are a few ways to do that. I know you can come up with something, but I don't think the I speak academia, that hook is going to work for you because it that works when it's very direct. Here you have to explain what that means, so then it loses its effectiveness. One way I've seen this done really, really well is positioning yourself as a translator, is that unique person who lives in this world and can speak that language but is gifted at translating that into concrete, engaging language that you know, other audiences can actually use. So it's almost like I call it you're the translator, you know, in being that person, because it is rare to find somebody like that. It's usually one or the other. And I've seen this done with some people who work in the tech industry, so that's their target market. And they came up through software development, so they really understand what's going on under the hood. But they have an MBA, they ran a business, they're very personable, they can communicate with regular people outside of software development. And not that those are not regular people, but you know what I'm saying, with lay people. And and they have that gift of being able to switch gears and translate. So it works really well for situations like that. I think yours might be similar. How does that strike you?
Yeah, I like that idea. I really do, because I really don't want to write in such a way on my website that people look at it and say, oh, she's an academic. I don't want that kind of writing. But then, you know, on the other hand, I really don't want them to think, oh, she's kind of flaky. You know, the academics are not going to read her stuff. So being a translator, I like that positioning. Thank you.
Yeah, you're like a chameleon. So, and you could do any one scenario that's necessary. In some cases, you do need to keep some of it buttoned up. So it's not like you're the person. I'm less that way. I know I wouldn't thrive with that because it would be hard for me to write that way. Very, very difficult. But you, if you absolutely have to, even whether it was a section or maybe you're doing three pieces for three different audiences, but same message, you could turn the switch every time and do a great job with all three. I don't remember if I put this in the session two handout, but Eric Lynch, who went through this program a few years ago, so he's got that message, and his website is ciocopywriter.com. Okay. C as in Chief Information Officer, and you'll see how he's done it. And his hook is, if a key decision maker has to read your marketing content, shouldn't a key decision maker write it? Basically, he said, look, I can write the things that you need to write for key decision makers and the companies you're going after. It's important that it's written for them. And guess what? I'm one of them. So shouldn't I write it, as opposed to someone who's cursed, who's got the curse of knowledge? To quote, what is it, make it stick, or making it stick. So yeah, if, unfortunately, if you're too close to it, you're not going to see it. He has that perspective. You have that perspective. You're able to kind of step back, and you're not cursed with that knowledge that's going to keep you from being able to communicate effectively with it, with an audience that's differently. You can translate that stuff that the academics have put out there in a way that the intended audience not just understands it, but is moved to act.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. I like that. I like that idea, the translator idea. Thank you, Ed.
Oh, you're welcome. Great stuff. All right. Let's see. I got. I don't have a name, but it's a caller from Texas. 5189. Last four digits of the number. You're on.
Hi, Ed. It's Alice.
Hey. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you for all the help you're giving, and I really appreciate.
Welcome.
I think things are really looking up for me already.
Oh, excellent. So great to hear.
I do have a question about LinkedIn. At what mm-hmm. point should we buy premium?
Yes.
It's a big outlay.
It is a big outlay. You know, I'm torn on that. And so let me kind of give you both sides, and then you decide what you think might be best for you. For the longest time, LinkedIn was, I think, giving away too much in the free version. I mean, I just didn't understand why why most people would even want to upgrade. And they didn't just seek a middle ground. They went from that all the way to an extreme, I feel, in that now the free version is very, very limited. And not only that, but the first level with paid is not cheap. You know, there's no $10 a month option. I think it goes straight up to
$50 a month.
$50 a month, yeah.
Overall, $60.
Yeah, I'm with Business Premium. I think there's three levels now, and they've experimented with the levels. I think right now they're down to three levels. I'm in the middle one, which is Business Premium, and I think it's $60 a month. So here's what I would say, and I hate this because the option, there used to be more options. But now with a free version, everyone should have a profile, period, even if it's free. However, where you're going to hit a wall is with prospect research. As you're looking for names and titles and contact information, LinkedIn
mm-hmm.
is an invaluable tool. And you're going to hit your limit for searches very, very quickly if you're serious about doing what you're going to do here to get that first paying client and beyond. So I hate to say it, but I think that you're going to have to upgrade. It just, you know, premium has just become a necessity as a business development tool. There are advantages too, like Kim said. He alluded to some of this in terms of search as well, but it's really from a research tool standpoint, it's become kind of a must-have. I hate that. I wish I could have a better option. If anyone has found something better, you know, please let me know. I just haven't found a way around it. And, you know, one thing you could do is you could stay free for a while and see how much you can get away with. But that commercial limit, you're going to hit that limit pretty soon, I suspect.
Yeah, and I've already been doing some. So, yeah. What's the first paid level? You said you're at the middle, which is Business Premium.
Business Premium. Let me see. Because they keep changing.
Because when I saw one article that said when you're ready to really start doing your lead gen, upgrade to premium for their free month, and network like crazy, and then see if that works for you.
You know, maybe Business Plus is considered the lower tier. It's showing here $59 a month for Business Plus. So the Sales Navigator is $79, and then the Recruiter is $120 or $119. What does it cost? I just hate their page is not very helpful because they're trying to do it differently. They're trying to figure out, okay, what is, where are you right now? You know, what is it that you
mm-hmm.
need? And then they'll put you somewhere. And some of the stuff I'm finding is outdated. I thought that there was a $50 level, and then it was Business Plus at $60. When is this dated? Now, this is from 2015. This is not helpful. But, you know, here's what I can – there's not going to be anything under $50, I'm pretty sure.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
They used to be no point in really talking too much about it because it's pretty much gone. They used to be a group called LinkedIn for Journalists. It's still there. And you could join, and the requirements were fairly loose. People like us who were commercial writers and copywriters qualified, we would get approved to join the group. And then with LinkedIn, they had an arrangement with LinkedIn. LinkedIn would give them free premium. And it was a level at the time, I forget which level it was, for a year. And all you had to do was sit through this LinkedIn webinar. And what they were trying to do is they were just trying to bring in more journalists into LinkedIn to use it as a tool. And there was no catch.
I don't mind sitting in on a LinkedIn webinar for an hour.
Yeah. Well, they started cracking down on that, and now, I mean, you really have to show that you are a journalist. You could be a freelance journalist, but you have to show and prove that you are. So people like us don't really qualify, and they're pretty clear about the fact that if it's commercial writing, it doesn't qualify.
Oh, okay.
So, but I bring that up just to show you that there used to be ways around it, and because there might be something like that out there that I don't know about. So I hate to say, look, there's no other way. There might be, but yeah. And we can ask. I see Kim's got his hand raised. So in fact, let me bring him on. Hey, Kim, have you heard of anything else out there like that where you can kind of get around the paying that much for premium?
Yep. not over LinkedIn itself, but I wouldn't recommend getting into LinkedIn until you are very, very big for the paid options, because there is a lot you can do with the free option. But for lead generation and finding the right people to connect to, what I like to do is just outsource it. I'm doing it on Fiverr. I'm doing it on Upwork. There are literally hundreds of people with premium accounts who will do the search for you. So you just give them your criteria, the type of companies you want to have, and they will give you back like 100, 200, 300 addresses regarding your criteria, and you can have that starting at $5. So for me, that's a good time investment, and so far it hasn't let me down. So I would maybe try that route first.
How good – that's brilliant. I never thought about, you know, getting someone to do that search for me. Are they pretty good? Have you found – have you given them specific criteria, for instance you know, enterprise software, but specifically, you know, in this sector of enterprise software, and I'm looking for director of marketing. So maybe not much more than that, but can they handle that level of criteria?
I would say yes. Obviously, it depends on how specific you want to have this, and you can always talk with the person before to really get a feeling if they are with you, but it comes down to the same criteria as when you're hiring a virtual assistant. The clearer your questions are and the better you can frame your own requirements, the easier job they will have to find you the contacts. They don't contact them for you. They just make the searches for you. So if they give you the names, sometimes they have already an email address or anything else because they have the tools for it. But from there, you can just start with a free account and connect with the people on a free account and then get on this way. So even if you order 100 addresses and only 60 or 70 of them are really good, I think that's still a better quota than paying 60 or 70 a month yourself and then investing like 10 hours on top of that.
Yeah, the time, so your time.
We'll try it. Yeah.
What are you finding? What type of fees are you seeing out there for this kind of work?
As I said, starting at $5. So, for example, if you go into Fiverr and just type in LinkedIn email or LinkedIn lead generation, you can find people with like 52 or 100 or even more recommendations. And yeah, they start at €4 and go as high as 50, 60. So, lots
that
of
per
it.
Hour?
No. That is per project. Just click through the advertisements. They describe what you're getting for it. Otherwise, what you can always do, which is free of charge as well, without any commitment, create an Upwork account, just create a job advert, and get some resumes, get some CVs from people, and let them tell you how much they want to have for it anyway. And then you can ask more questions, invite them on Skype, see if they are a good fit or not. But you can get this pretty cheap.
I like that. I'm logging into my Upwork account right now to see what I find there as well. You know, I'd say with these at these rates, you don't have much to lose. I mean, gosh, your first month with LinkedIn Premium, $60. I mean, you know, I would probably go ahead and risk something around that and save my time as well, and just to see where it goes.
So I have one guy here. I can share this later in the Facebook forum. His basic pack, so his lowest point, his MVP is 100 companies with, together with email, phone, website, their personal address, their LinkedIn account, pricing packages, and any other info that you want for $5. So this
is
for 100
crazy.
Companies. Yep.
That sounds doable.
Yeah.
More than doable. Yes. Okay.
Great
thank
idea.
You.
Yeah, thank you, Kim.
I'll mute myself.
Great stuff. Yeah, no, don't worry. I got you. I'll mute you here on my end. Yeah, brilliant. I never thought to hire someone. You know, and I want to emphasize what Kim said. It's very important that it's all about the quality of the information you give them, the criteria that you explain things. Clearly, my experience has been with things of this nature. You do your best to provide that information, and then you have to course correct a little bit as you go along. So, you know, based on what they're giving you, then give them additional direction or guidance. Okay, you know, these don't work, and here's why, and this is on target, and so forth. But what I like about this idea is that at these rates, you're not risking much. So I've been in situations where I've risked a lot more, and it we have to do a ton of course correction. So we wasted a lot just trying to get to the right place. Great stuff. All right, guys. So again, star two. If you have a question, let me just check the Q&A page. Okay. Deb added a little bit earlier regarding Gladys's question that she's right. This is another great example. Liz Farr. Liz is also a graduate of this program. She's a great example of translating from accounting language, accounting speak, to layperson. So, yeah, definitely check out Liz. And let me see. It's Liz, is it Farr? FarrCommunications.com, and it's F-A-R-R, FarrCommunications.com, and you'll see how she's positioning herself and explaining that how she translates. So, yeah, thank you for that, Deb. That's a great point. All right, so let's see. I got Mike. You're on. Hello.
Can you hear me? On?
I can hear you. How are you?
I'm good. Very good. Hey, I really just wanted to add to the conversation we've been having, which I thought was like you. I hadn't even thought about the Fiverr and Upwork kind of thing. But I wanted to kind of give you the other angle of that, or the other, another perspective on that for people is, because I'm listening, and I mean, $60, we're talking about $60. How much are you going to charge a client? I mean, we got to be careful that we don't, you know, cheap ourselves into corners too. So, I mean, there's a time and a place where, you know, $60, none of us wants to spend the money, but I'm betting we all want more than $60 for our project. So, I mean, if we invest $60 and it lands us a project, you know, one a month, let's say, no brainer. So, I mean, I wouldn't, on a lot of that stuff, sometimes it's easy to fall into that, you know, the mindset that gets us in trouble too. So I was just really thinking out loud with that. I met a lot of good conversation, and Kim's info was really, really very, almost fascinating.
Yeah, you know, you bring up a great point, Mike. I, you know, I'm of that mindset too. I also want to be sensitive to the fact that, you know, some people are just trying to make do with what they've got, because I'm also a big proponent of the fact that it's not about resources, it's about being resourceful. If you can be resourceful, you can do anything. So I'm trying to balance both of these, which are both extremely valid arguments, and I'm glad you brought that up. And you got a great point. Guys, you know, this is a business, right? So you got to invest in things that are going to give you a return. Of course, you have to make some decisions because you have limited funds and resources. But keep in mind, like you said, right, $60. I mean, for me, LinkedIn, the little bit that I do use it for every month is worth the $60. It definitely pays for itself. But if you're doing like active prospecting, if you're doing active prospecting and it's allowing you to find the right people and connect, I mean, that's awesome. It's not a nice to have. In other words, right? It's a tool. It's an investment.
And $60.
Same thing
is
with
a
website.
Than a lot of them, right? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I've seen too many people. So we strongly discourage people from hosting their websites with GoDaddy. Now, you probably saw from the training, for those of you who've been through the WordPress training, Crystal says, hey, they're fine if you want to buy your domain from them. But a lot of they have these crazy cheap offers for hosting your website with them, and it's horrible. Their service is horrible, and then the websites don't look good. And hosting is so cheap these days that if you're looking to save $50 a year, it's not worth it, because what you're getting from a branding perspective and from the hassle of getting really bad service if something happens. It's just not worth the $50. So I'd rather spend a little bit more and go with a hosting company that's reputable, that's does a better job.
Yep, that's right. I mean, we all have those same problems. You know, we're trying to balance the money and stuff, and you know, sometimes we worry about the money more than the time. And as we get older, we quit doing that a little bit more. But I thought it was worth raising because it is important, and I know that there's a lot of areas where we have to look at, but yeah, don't go cheap on that kind of stuff. Your website one's a great example, because there's some horror stories with like places that, I mean, they host 5 million websites. How much attention do you think they're paying to yours when they host 5 million websites?
They stuff their servers with a bunch of other websites.
Right.
It's all shared services anyway, but they don't, they don't throttle them up or down based on what's going on, and then yours suffers because you happen to be in a server with a website that's doing something bad or getting all kinds of traffic. They don't do a good job throttling, and everybody else gets hurt.
Right. Yep,
but
that's
how they do it for less. That whole business is a race to the bottom. It's so pathetic.
It is, yep. It is.
Crystal and I spent years looking. We were willing to spend real money. We had fistfuls of cash. We're like, we're willing to pay more. Just give us something, you know, some good service. And we couldn't find anybody because that is not the model. The model is we just want to be cheaper.
Right. That's right. Yeah.
Thank you for bringing that up, Mike. It's a very, very good point. All right. So again, guys, star two, if you have a question. Susan commented, this is great stuff from Kim. Really appreciates that. She wondered if you'd be willing to write down some of these great tips for those of us who are new to it. Well, yeah, I'm not going to ask Kim to do that, but Kim, if I don't know if you have articles you've written, like in a blog or anything you think it might be helpful, if you're willing to share it with a group, that would be awesome. I'm just very grateful that that you're sharing this with us. Some great ideas there on LinkedIn. So, yeah, that good stuff. Let's do this. Let's go to I'm going to go to the forum, and I think a couple of people had posted requests for to review their website. Let me just make sure I don't miss anybody here. Okay. So we did Rafiq. We did Alice last week. Okay, Nadine. Okay, Nadine. And I got your website up. So let me write down the time in case you're not on. I can tell you when I reviewed it. All right, so homepage, look and feel, I like it. By the way, I'll go down a list of factors that I'm looking at so you know what I'm talking about. Look and feel overall, it's clean, it's easy to read, it looks nice, so good stuff. In terms of word count, do you have 200 words or less? You certainly do, so that's good. Let's look at the headline. Are you struggling to find a writer who knows financial language? Yeah. Okay. So I would give that a B, B plus. I think it's good. You could leave it as is. I suspect that this is the kind of headline that you could probably do a little bit better with. But you know, don't worry about it right now. Brainstorm when you have some time. Or what will typically happen is a better headline idea will come to you out of the blue. So, what I like about it is it combines the whole, are you having this pain, with an implied differentiator of the fact that you focused on this particular industry or this type of writing. So, but I think you can make it even stronger. Wouldn't you like to have a writer who understands the financial industry so there's no hand-holding and they can start on your project right away? Okay. I would break that up into two sentences and maybe reword it a little bit to say, let me see, what can we do here? I would say it's two questions. So, and I still don't like starting with wouldn't, but wouldn't you like to have a writer who understands the financial industry? ? Someone who doesn't need hand-holding and can start on your project right away. So the project right away is not really a differentiator, right? That's a availability issue. So I would say someone who can get started right away with no hand-holding. I mean, that's one way you can reword it. So it's really not focused on the availability and really focused on the fact that this is the industry or the market you focus on. Hi, I'm Nadine. I work with B2B financial services companies to write articles, white papers, case studies, and other marketing materials. Unlike most business writers, I used to be an accounting assistant and have over 10 years of experience. I would specify, so unlike most business writers, I used to be an accounting assistant and have over 10 years of experience. I would tie the 10 years experience to the accounting assistant. So I have 10 years experience in the accounting industry. I think that's going to be better than saying I used to be an accounting assistant and I have 10 years of experience. 10 years of experience of what? I'm not really sure. And the fact that he didn't tie them together makes me wonder if it's just 10 years of work experience, but maybe a little bit of that was accounting assistant. So don't leave the prospect to wonder. Yeah, so like most business writers, I have a strong experience in the accounting industry with over 10 years. Some work with that. I think you can improve that sentence. This means that I can hit the ground running and tackle your project using my background to write content that engages and persuades potential clients. That's another opportunity to break up that sentence. I think I would go with two sentences. You know, there's a lot of verbs in there. That's kind of what I'm looking at. It's long and there's a lot of verbs. So I think you can find a logical place to kind of break that up, and that way it's easier to read. If you're wondering why you should hire me, click on the link below to go to my YME page. So what I would do is, instead of then having a separate link, click here, Why Me, it's better, the convention is to just hyperlink some of the text above that, some of the text in the sentence, if you're wondering why you should hire me. And I would reword that to say, to learn more about my background and what makes me different, click here. And then the click here would be the hyperlinked text to the Why Me page, okay? So let's go to Why Me. All right, headline, why should you work with me? Yeah, that's fine, straightforward headline, I have a background. So I like the fact that you broke this up into four sections or three sections. That's great, easier to read, easier to digest, easier to understand. I have a background in the financial industry. I graduated with a degree in finance, and I have worked for banks and accountants. This means that I know the lingo, and I understand how difficult this ever-changing market can be. You need someone who knows how to navigate this highly regulated. Yeah, okay, great. Great job with that first section. I write in a clear, engaging way. Yes, reading financial material can be a bit boring to some people, but I can take that boring, complex information, write in a clear and engaging way. Okay, your information is more. Yeah, I like that. I like the second section. I'm easy to work with. I know how hard it can be to work with a difficult person. Yeah. Yeah, I would, you know, with easy to work with, that's kind of a soft benefit that's hard to really define and make tangible. There are a couple things you could do to kind of bolster that a bit, add a little bit more credibility. If you had a testimonial to that effect, either now or in the future, I would go ahead and add that testimonial right underneath that just so it supports your claim. The other would be you can add things that most other freelancers don't add when it comes to, hey, I'm easy to work with and I'm professional, is you can point out the fact that many others aren't. So, for instance, one thing I've seen, and I use this in my website for a while, is unlike so many other writers, I live and die by my deadlines. You know, I've never missed one and I never will. You see how that's much stronger than saying I'm easy to work with and I meet deadlines? Not that you've said you meet deadlines here, but so in other words, you say things with conviction in things that many other freelancers aren't saying, either because they can't say it, because they miss deadlines or they're not professional, or they just or they forget or they don't even think about it. So again, a testimonial here could bolster that. Think of something else you could do if you're constantly being told, hey, you're just so easy to work with, you're such a pro, you're such a delight, you always come through, you always go above and beyond. I think any of those could really work well in here to add a little bit more oomph to it. Normally, you can. In many other businesses, that stuff is just a platitude, but it here, if done correctly, it can really stand out. Services. Let's go to that page. Your headline, did you know that content marketing is a must for financial firms? It can help increase brand loyalty, boost client retention, and generate leads. Here's a list of writing services I provide. Okay. Yeah. This works. I mean, generally, you know, I don't want to try to write copy that educates, hey, you know, you need this. You really should be doing this. I'd rather talk to someone who already understands that, and now I'm just positioning myself as the right choice for them. But there's nothing wrong with this to start out with. If you can't come up with something else, can't think of something right now, this totally works. as long as you don't overdo it. I've seen some people with all the services explaining what a case study is, and there's a whole paragraph of that. In most cases, that's going to be overkill. Contact me. Okay, pretty straightforward. Okay, so perfect. In the testimonials page, you have the whole dependability and reliability. So this is something you could use to bolster that statement in your Why Me page too. And it doesn't matter if it's in two different places. That's fine. So great job. I think this is you got yourself a great looking site here. I would go live with this right now. I'd be very comfortable prospecting once you make those changes. Okay, and let's go to, I think there was another one. Keith wanted me to look at his LinkedIn profile, which I did. Same thing with Alice. And okay, we got Dylan. Let's look at Dylan's site. Okay, so again, let's start with look and feel. But I love this picture, these cranes. Very striking. Okay, headline, looking for high-quality building and construction marketing material. Look no further. I see where you're going with that, but it's confusing. You know, you don't want to err on the side of being a little too clever. You just want to get to the point. And I'm looking at the background, I'm looking at the headline, and right away, again, I'm thinking, am I in the right place? And if I'm looking for a writer, right now I have doubts. So just let them know. It should be clear that you're a writer or copywriter and that you serve their industry. That's what you want this particular headline to do based on where you're going with it. You know, looking for a writer who truly understands the construction industry, look no further. Okay, something along those lines. That's not the exact headline you may want to use, but something along those lines. Be a little bit more clear. All right, so then under 200 words, yes, you met that, check. Let's look at the copy and make sure that the top three elements of positioning are there, what you do for whom and why you're different. An industry with stiff competition, tight budgets, and short attention spans, you need a writer who can engage and persuade your audience. Nothing turns off a potential prospect more than drab content filled with industry jargon. Okay, to help stand out from the masses, you need high-quality marketing content custom tailored to your audience. But let's face it, you're already busy running your business. You don't have time to produce it. Okay, so far, I think it's fine, but you haven't mentioned who they are. It's important. Right now, it feels a little generic, too generic, and you have a clearly defined target market. So I know you say that further down, but let's go ahead and just start with that. In an industry such as construction, with stiff competition, tight budget, short attention span, you need a marketing writer who can engage and persuade your audience. So let them know right off the bat. You can't say it enough. I mean, there comes a point where it's a little too much, but right now you have room for a bit more. The other thing I would say is you have a little bit too much challenge copy here. The whole idea is to build some affinity with a prospect, not to elaborate and agitate the problem over and over again. So right now it's 80% of this page of the copy is challenge copy, and the solution is 20%. It needs to be more the other way around, at least no more than 50-50. So I would cut that down. In fact, I would say you could cut out nothing turns off a potential prospect, the next paragraph to help you stand out, but let's face it, I would go straight to that's why you need a writer who already understands your industry and customers, someone who already understands the construction industry, someone who can quickly get up to speed with the company without learning curve or holdups. That's where I come in. I specialize in writing high-quality marketing content for the building and construction industry that generates leads, engages your audience, and enhances your industry reputation. Yeah. Okay. The rest is fine. Good stuff. Okay, so let's look at why me. Got a headline there. And let's look at the body copy. These days, it seems like copywriters are a dime a dozen. Finding the right one for your business can be a daunting task. So here again, first paragraph in the Why Me page, I think you need to mention the industry, the target market again. These days, it seems like copywriters are a dime a dozen. Finding the right one for your construction business can be a daunting task. Or you could do it in the next sentence. When looking for a copywriter, wouldn't you want someone who already knows the construction industry, period? Someone who doesn't need all that hand-holding or whatever. You could do it there as well. I know how to connect with your target audience. And like most business writers, I've worked in both commercial and residential construction. What? Someone who's worked in the industry who can write? Yes, it does exist. If you're going to go this route, the what, it felt a little bit out of sync to me from a rhythm perspective here. So what I would do is I would break it up and start the what question mark a new line. So do a paragraph break. What? Someone who's worked in the same industry? Someone who's worked in the industry who can write and has a sales and marketing mindset? New paragraph. Yes, it does exist. That's me. I've worked with contractors, building suppliers, et cetera. Yeah, so break that up. You need that visual rhythm on the page for it to work the way you want it to work. We can get straight to work. So I'm just moving down the page here on Why Me. Quality content delivered on time budget. Under quality content delivered on time and budget, here's an example. I would just kind of maybe cut some of this out and just go straight to, I understand how important meeting deadlines, stay on budgets are. Maybe add something to the effect of, hey, just like with construction crews, you know, deadlines, project timelines are key. Just like they are there, I treat it the same way with my writing, you know. So something along, I think you can kind of incorporate some of that industry terminology or business drivers into your message there. Okay, services page. If you're looking for marketing content that is full of hype and empty promises, we are probably not the best fit. I would change that to I'm not the right writer for you, the right copywriter for you. What I do for you. So that's too many use. Okay, if you're looking for marketing content that's full of hype and empty promises, I'm not your guy. Period. What I do for you is what I can do is write or craft persuasive and well-researched content in your company voice that engages and connects with your customers. I write a broad range of marketing materials. I'm missing an S there. Marketing materials for the construction industry. Okay. That works with those slight tweaks. And your contact page. Yeah, good stuff. Good stuff, Dylan. And I'll mark this. I don't know if you're listening, but in case you want to listen to the replay, I'll timestamp it here in the forum so you know when I covered it. If you want to skip to that later. Okay. And let's see. LinkedIn has Dylan also sent me his LinkedIn profile. So let's just take a quick look here. Your professional headline says building and construction industry content marketing and copywriter. Yeah. Okay. Those are great keywords. Summary. I specialize in writing high quality marketing content for the building and construction industry. Right. Perfect. You did exactly what I showed you. Tell them, give them the meat right up front. Then you can go to some challenge copy, and then you can go to the rest of the solution. So I would just say, once you make those changes on your website, come back here and make those tweaks as well in your summary. And you're good to go. Yeah. Great job, Dylan. All right, guys, so star two on your telephone keypad if you have a question, need some feedback, want to talk through anything. And I'm curious to know, where are you? You know, where are you in the process? Are you caught up? Are you a little behind? Are you a little ahead? I know we got folks in at all those different points. And just to kind of give you a look ahead, next week is an implementation week. So I have no new training for you. This is the only week where we have no new training. I want to give you, I find that it helps to have a week where everyone can just kind of catch up, reset, and we can all start together again the following week. So we will still have this call, same time, same place, next week, 1 o'clock Eastern Time, U.S., but no new training next week, so you can catch up wherever you are, and of course, we'll still be in the forums answering questions. Okay, Renee says, hey, Ed, will you please give us a link to follow along when you are reviewing the websites? Thank you. Absolutely. So, guys, I should have mentioned this earlier. I apologize. There is a website review thread in the forum, in the Facebook forum, in the Facebook group. So look for that, and you'll see. I'm just going down that thread, and that's you'll see them there. So I think it'd be easier for me to point you to that then give you the URL. Some of these URLs are kind of long. So just know that that's where I'm going to find these websites, the website review thread. One quick way, if it's not near the top of the page, in fact, this is a great little tip here if you're looking for anything in the forum. In the top left of the screen in the forum, you'll see that the navigation is there, discussion, members, events, videos, photos, files. Underneath files, there's a search field, and I would just type in review, and it will show you all the results for a website. Well, let's do website review. Yeah, so it will show you the website review thread. That's one quick way of finding it, or you can just scroll down. It's one of the popular threads in the forum, and Crystal posted it too. So yeah, sorry about that, Renee. I'll make sure to mention that too, just going forward, just to remind everyone where I'm getting that. All right, questions. I don't see any hands raised. So if you thought you raised it, I'm not seeing it. Try star two again. All right, last call. I just want to make sure I don't miss anybody. Even if you have a comment, want to let us know how things are going, where you are in the process. Again, next week is a great time to catch up. If you're a little behind, it's important that you try to stay with the group as best as you can, because this stuff is building on itself. So as we move along to get the most out of it, you really want to catch up on some of this. And I cannot emphasize this enough, guys. I've been doing this for a long time, and one of the biggest challenges that I see at this stage of the process is overthinking and perfectionism. It's like, it's got to be right. I'm not ready. It's not quite where I want it to be. You know what? It's better to go live with something than it is to keep thinking through it. You'll have an opportunity to refine that. This is not the last iteration of your website. None of this is final. And I'd rather see you getting it out there, letting me review it, giving you feedback. You can make those improvements and those edits at that point and then start prospecting than to keep waiting until the right time, until it just feels right, or until you feel like you have something there that's good enough. You know what? It's never going to feel good enough. Let me just tell you right now. So the best thing you could do for yourself is just to keep moving, keep stepping outside your comfort zone. You will learn as you go. You know, just don't feel like you have to be ready for the perfect prospect. The perfect prospect is not going to appear anytime soon. These first few clients you're going to land are not going to be the best clients in the world. You're just trying to create some activity in order to get some practice, in order to boost your confidence, and to get that momentum that you so desperately need. So that's all we want, and for that, you don't need perfection. You don't need to overthink all this stuff. You just need something that's good enough. Again, good is better than done. We want to try to do the best job possible, of course. I'm not saying don't do that, but it's so important that you move through this. And then the other thing I see is people getting too far behind and then just kind of giving up, and then they're just way behind and they just get discouraged. Catch up. Create a plan of action. Block out time in your schedule. If you have to wake up a little earlier, stay up a little bit later. We can all find the time. We can all find the time to do this little by little. Just one training session at a time. That's all it takes. Don't feel – if you try to carve out a whole day to catch up, I rarely see that work. I find that it's best to do this incrementally, because you'll never find a day that's completely open. And if it is, you're going to get interruptions, and then that's going to destroy your plan. So I'd rather see you spread it out a little bit more and catch up that way. All right, guys, I don't see any more questions. We'll go ahead and wrap up for today. Again, I'm here at your disposal in the forum. I'm going to be gone for a couple of days. I'm taking a long weekend, so if you post something, let's say, tomorrow through Sunday, I may not get to you till Monday. But I will get to you, so don't worry. I'm here. Help you out any way I can. You guys keep moving through this. Let me know where I can help. Have a great rest of the day, and we'll talk soon. Take care.